This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 196 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are wrapping up Liam Neeson month. We have gone through three other movies. No duds so far. Would you agree, Alex? So far, they've ranged from good to better, like really good.
Yeah, right? Actually, I haven't been disappointed yet.
But that could change, or maybe not, because today we're going to be doing 2018's The Commuter. Once again, directed by Hao Mei, Colette Serra. This is a third movie we've seen between the two of them. I regret not picking Nonstop for the fourth movie, and then we would have just done all four of them, but we did the A-Team instead. So this, of course, surprising a bunch of like future stars in this movie. You got Florence Pugh in a really small role as one of the train people. You also get Letitia Wright, who would go on to be in Black Panther as Shiri, and now is going to have a bigger role in Black Panther 2. She's a girl who gives him a piece of paper. On the train. That's it. She's a tiny role. So pretty interesting cast. We're going to break it all down. But before we do that, let's go ahead and give you some Rotten Tomato scores here now. This one is similar to Run All Night, which we liked. But yeah. This one is in the ballpark, a 55% critic score. Almost got to 60, but not quite. Audience score a bit lower, 40%. Audience is not crazy about this movie. I remember when it came out, I reviewed this on my old podcast. I remember it not being received that well when it came out. It was part of what we talked about. So it's interesting to go back and watch it now. And is this a first time watch for you? Yeah.
Yeah. I never seen it. Yeah.
Never seen it. So a little bit of a first time watch, a Liam Neeson movie. You already know these are dad action movies, as I like to call them. These are the ones your dad goes to Best Buy and Target the week they come out and he buys them on DVD. This is one of those movies. Alex, you get to go first, of course, with the lead character. Now, Liam Neeson always has a name in these movies, but he's pretty much just Liam Neeson every single time with a different job. So I'm going to let you go ahead and break down Liam Neeson.
Okay, so when it comes to Liam Neeson's character, to be really honest with you, it's kind of cookie cutter from every other roles, from every other movie. It's kind of the same character. Pretty much just switched occupation, switch the sub, like what happens in the movie. But I will say this movie is very, very different. He has a family, right? In this one, he has a wife and he has a kid that is going to go to college. And he has to pay for it. And then he works as a life insurance agent.
Former cop. Life insurance agent.
Yes. That's the twist in the movie. He was a former cop. So I was like, okay, cool. Now, how was Liam Neeson? He was good. I thought he was good. He was he's not a bad actor. Now, he's not up there with everybody. I mean, in the top tier of actors, but he stays the lane that he is comfortable in. And I respect an actor that does that. He stays the lane. He doesn't rear off with his roles. He looks very old in this movie. I'm going to be really honest with you. He looks very old in this movie. You can see age is creeping up. But the character was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed him. He was a former cop. Certain things annoyed me, but that would be towards later in the other categories. But in terms of the role, I gave him a 4. He was believable. The character is very believable. This movie's a murder mystery. So I already liked that when coming into the movie. So I'm not going to talk too much on that aspect, but I'm just going to say is in terms of Liam Neeson in a murder mystery film, he did a great job leading the lead character in a murder mystery. So with that, I gave him a 4. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, we're on the same page. I give him the same score as you. Where I will say is Liam Neeson, he's an Oscar-nominated actor. Now, it was a long time ago, but I believe if he didn't get kind of, I won't say he's blacklisted in Hollywood, but because he made some controversial comments in the past and he doesn't get prestigious roles anymore, but I think he has one in him. Like, I think if the right director said, I don't want to make an action movie, I want to make like, or even if like a Tarantino was like, I want Liam Neeson. I want the old Liam Neeson. I bet you he can pull a fantastic performance out of him. But I agree with your point. At this point, this is his lane. He stayed in it for the last, I don't know, since Taken came out pretty much.
Yeah, a decade.
And he does it well. He's a big guy, first of all. He has gigantic hands. It just boggles the mind. Every time he holds a gun, the gun looks like it's a little tiny water gun because his hands are so huge. You're right. He looks old in this movie. He was 66 when this came out. Now, he's playing a 60-year-old. Which at least they aged him close to his real age. Because he says it twice. He's like, I'm 60. So it's like, at least they were smart and didn't try to tell me he was 45 or something like that. But he was 66 years old when he played the role, and he still does. He's still physical, you know. Yeah. There's a, you know, there he doesn't do every single stunt, but there are there's one or two, and I'll save it for overall with some CGI that doesn't look great. But there is one fight scene that you could tell like it's him doing most of it, and it was pretty cool. I like Liam Neeson. I don't like every movie he's in, but I usually like him. This character is good. You're right. At least he has some story to him, right? You got a wife, got a kid, struggles, financial problems, gets offered this crazy scenario, doesn't really believe it. Then he ends up taking it. Then he tries to get out of it, and then his old cop instincts kick in. And then it's like, okay, I'm with him. So I liked him. I liked the character. I thought he was good as well. I gave him a 4. All right, lead villain. Now, the lead villain is played by a guy who plays a villain a lot of times. He was just a villain in another Liam Neeson movie we did not that long ago, played by Patrick Wilson. I would say he's the main villain, but there's like villainous other people. But he's the freaking... What is that? The Conjuring is the villain. The Conjuring couple. They're pretty much both the villains.
I gave it a 2, the villain. I'm gonna be honest why. Okay. Yeah. One, you don't see the villain at all. In the beginning of the movie, you see Vera Farmiga comes into the role. She's Joanne. Okay. Yes. She plays that character. You see her sit down, lay down the rules. She goes, I'm a psychiatrist, and let's just try a little something. And then he goes, all right, would you do the deal? Anyway, the movie takes place from there. Now, Patrick Wilson, which is her husband in the Conjuring movies, plays his best friend, his former partner, that I'm not going to spoil it for people because this movie is a kind of murder mystery. I don't know if people care. I don't want to spoil that whole thing, but plays his friend. But then again, I just said main villain. So that already spoiled the whole movie. So basically he throws him in this whole pickle, which again, you see him in the beginning and then the end, and that's it. And I'm only grading villains, and I cannot grade nothing else because at the end he does fight him. He does shoot him, but I can't give more higher than a 2. He wasn't relevant into the story until the ending of the movie. And again, same thing with Joanne Vera Farmiga. She's at the, she literally got paid for 10 minutes into a movie.
And to be a voice.
And to be a voice. Yeah, on the phone. Yeah, so pretty much with that said, did it hurt the movie? Absolutely not. But in terms of the villain, it is what it is. It was like kind of like a mastermind type of villain anyway, but I gave it a 2. It didn't work for me as much.
We are once again on the same page. I also gave it a 2. And the only reason I gave it a 2 and not a 1 is because at least I do like, I'm a sucker for a good villain who's a friend, you know, the friend turned villain in this case. And the funny thing is, he's the villain, but he's not even like totally against Liam Neeson. Like he just wants to make sure this other person dies. So this whole conspiracy cover up remains that way. Like doesn't want her to be a witness, but I still like when a friend has to turn on the other one. I'm a fan of it. Besides that, you're right. It's a 2. He's in one scene in the beginning, comes back on the train at the very end, and that's it. Now, Joanne, she's like a mouthpiece for like higher ups. I thought Vera Farmiga was great. I love that scene that she's in, honestly. Like, I like the way, I like her as an actress. I think she's gorgeous. And I like the way she talks. Like, I like the way she acts. So I like that scene where she's talking with him about the scenario. Like, would you do it? I don't know. It's hypothetical, whatever. And it turns out it's real. And then on the phone, she's pretty rude. When that guy gets hit by the bus, that's my favorite part. like, yeah, I want you to look out this window. Bam, the guy gets nailed. I loved it. So, but still, it's a 2. It's a 2, but this is, you're right. It's not that kind of movie. It's not main hero versus main adversary. It's a conspiracy, a storyline, a mystery. So it doesn't hurt it, but I'm not going to give it a high score either. It's a 2. Okay, action.
Oh, boy. Okay. This does not have much action at all. Yeah. I mean, you do get your hand-to-hand fights here and there. I mean, they are really good hand-to-hand fights. I'm not going to say they were whack. They were actually really good. I mean, when he fought the guy with the guitar, that was the best part. Yeah. That was the best part of the movie. Now, I had to deduct some points. And I'm going to be really honest with you. I sat this with my beautiful wife. And she was like, here we go. When that train blew up and he got catapulted into the other train.
I knew it. I had to be the part.
I'm sorry,
CGI Nate. Liam Neeson gets blasted into
the other train. It was some Looney Tunes shit, bro. I don't know what it was bad. I couldn't defend it. We looked at each other and I said, get the fuck out of here. I think I screamed, get the fuck out of here. Like, what did I, like, it was like not, it, I don't know, dude.
Plausible?
I, plausible. Yeah. I mean, and again, coming from a dude that watches 007 and watches crazy gadgets and shit, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. But this, no bueno. Like, this was just straight up, like, it did not work for me. It reminded me of Mission Impossible 1 when Tom Cruise blew up the helicopter and jumped onto the train in a little tunnel.
And he's like,
yeah, he's a bit.
Everybody knows that scene.
Yeah, he goes, red light, green light. And yeah. Then he hits the bubble gum. Yeah. I did not like that scene. The CGI is god awful. Bad CGI, like bad CGI.
He looks like he's just made out of spaghetti.
Rubber. Yes, he looked rubbery. Yeah. That scene was bad. I had to deduct a point. I said, this is not good. The second one is when he's fighting the same dude with the guitar, but the problem was is that they break the glass and then he puts his head out the window. You could tell it was CGI. And his head looked CGI. It's like he's waiting and waiting. Yeah, that was it. And then, oh my God. The scene that he jumped onto the train, he gets catapulted. The dude is really holding him there and they're looking at the train coming down and then pulls him in at the last second. And I said, no. I was like, no. Other than that, those were my two flaws in this movie, where the CGI parts was god awful. The catapulting was so useless. The train conductor that jumped over and dies for no apparent reason. Guy? Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck? He's like, I always said I would die on the train or whatever. Like, you don't have to. You could jump back across.
Dude, it was the worst like death I think I seen in a movie, action movie. He was a useless death. Besides the lady in Speed that went under the bus because she played stupid. Well,
she's the most all-time useless.
She's the all-time. We found.
I gotta get up.
Yeah. Yeah. And she went under the bus. We found the second one is my man in the commuter. The useless death scene.
Yeah.
All right. So I gave it a 3. I thought the scene, the action was good, but it's not a 4 or 5. But anyway, Nate, I gave it a 3.
I don't know. You know, we don't share notes. I have same exact score written down here. I have a 3, a soft 3. I agree with you. I hate that CGI part. That's the part I was talking about when I was talking about lead character. It looks so stupid. I don't understand the choice. The train crash itself was okay. I like the lead up to it. I like when they, you know, they come up with the idea to disconnect the last train and then it gets stuck on the, I like all that. That's fine. But, and then the crash itself, overall, it doesn't look terrible. It has that shot where he's like on it and the other train's like up in the air coming down. Like, it's not horrible CGI, but when him as a CGI person is horrible. I agree with you about the black guy didn't have to die. I actually love that fight with the guitar guy. Now, I think it's because I like the way it's shot. It's kind of like one long take. And it is not, sure, okay, Liam Neeson is supposed to be 60 years old, but he is large. And it is done in a mostly realistic way. Like, it's like hard punches. There's one part where he gets hit and in the body and he kind of like, you know, like slumps down like it really hurt. Like, I like that. I don't like when they're just superhuman and they could land 30,000 punches on each other and nobody seems to really get hurt. At least this one, they had moments where it felt like it hurt. I love the part where he just grabs a guitar and smashes him with it.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. It made me laugh, but in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, yes, that was awesome. You hit him with this guitar. So I like that fight scene. I like the other fight, the first one where he fights with the guy who turns out to be an FBI agent or whatever. And he didn't know, you know, they get in the little scrap. And that's all you get. There's like not a lot of, there's a little bit of shooting at the end, but it's nothing. It's not like crazy gunplay, but I'm not crazy about gunplay anyway. So I gave it a soft 3. I'm right there with you. There's enough to consider this an action movie, but not so much where it's like amazing action.
Yeah.
Okay. Storyline.
All right. Storyline. Again, I love murder mysteries. This is a great murder mystery film, to be honest with you. Now, there's a lot of fluff in the movie. Some fluff. But it's a generic story in terms of his character and the family. In terms of the whole mystery unfolding, I thought it was good for what it was. I don't think it was great. Like, it's not like Knives Out, like nothing like that. Like that had a great pace in film. This one didn't have much great pace. I felt like it was some slow parts and then they came back and they raveled you back into the story. I think they could have shrunk the movie a little bit more. I think it would have worked for me. I just felt there was a lot of scenes that made the movie way too long and I personally didn't like the length of the movie. I think it could have been cut by 15 minutes maybe or even more, 20.
I think it should have been 90 minutes.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
I think it would have been. I think the beginning was a little too long. A lot of explanations there. in the middle a little bit. But other than that, to be honest with you, the story, I gave it a 3. I think it's a good story. I don't think it's a 4 for me or a 5 as a perfect. It's not a perfect movie. So with that, I give it a 3.
You know what movie? You know what story this you know what this reminded me of a lot? And I think that movie's, I like the one I'm about to compare it to better. But the storyline reminds me a lot of the movie 16 Blocks with Bruce Willis and Mos Def.
Oh, yeah.
Except they're on a bus instead of a train. Especially the end where they put up all the newspapers. And you got to make sure that the crooked cop is trying. The crooked cop's trying to kill a witness who saw something they weren't supposed to see. And the friend has to, it's pretty identical at the end. I wouldn't say the commuter, the whole thing is like 16 Blocks. But especially the third act, it reminds me a lot of 16 Blocks. And I like that movie. So I don't have a problem. I made this comparison when we did Unknown. And I'm actually going to stick with it. I think Unknown, this movie, and the movie he did called Nonstop, which we didn't review, but they remind me of movies that had he been alive or they were made a long time ago would be like Hitchcock movies. And I've watched a lot of Hitchcock movies. So I'm not just like, you know, talking out the side of my head or anything. Like, to me, I'm not saying these are as good. So don't kill me. Don't say you're crazy. I'm just saying the plots are plots of movies Hitchcock would have done. You know, someone on a train gives this opportunity. Like, it is a thriller at the end of the day. It's a thriller. And Hitchcock was the master of suspense, right? He's not a horror director. He made thrillers. The thing is that nowadays, thrillers are made differently. They have a different energy. But the main kernels of the storylines of these movies are things that he probably would have made like a masterpiece movie. Whereas now, you know, these people aren't as talented, so they're not as great. That being said, I think the storyline's solid. You know, you got a witness to a crime. You got, has it been done before? Yeah, I just said it's similar to 16 Blocks, but it doesn't make it necessarily bad. It's also not amazing because of that. Because it's not super original, you know, but you have the character introduce this scenario, the money. There's always the guy, he's down on his luck. He can use the money. And then he, you know, he happens to be a cop. So he's able to kind of piece it together. And even that, he didn't get it till the very end. Like, he didn't know who the person was until way at the end of the movie. So he wasn't even like the greatest cop, but I enjoyed it. I think the storyline's not bad. And I gave it the same score as you. I gave it a 3. I think in more capable hands. And honestly, if they said, let's take all the action out. Like, it's just not going to be an action movie, right? There'll be the one little scuffle fight and that's it. But it's not going to have those action movie beats. It's just going to be a straight thriller on a train. Might have worked better, honestly. But as is, I give it a 3. It's got a solid storyline. Okay, overall.
All right. Overall, I think this movie is really good. It's a very good movie. I don't think it's boring is a very strong word to use for film. Yeah. I don't think it's a boring movie for some people. I can see why people didn't like this movie as much. But other people that enjoy certain genres of film, this could gravitate. You could gravitate to it. I enjoy this type of movie. So I enjoy it for what it was. I think certain pieces that if you would eliminate it would have been 100 times better. To be honest with you, I think it would have been really good. Would I pick this up on 4K? Because I saw you have a 4K of it. So I would pick this up on 4K. I would not pay more than $15 for this movie. I'm going to be really honest with you. If it's $10, it's a steal.
$7.99.
Yeah, see, that I would pay for it.
Yeah.
But I would never brought it because I would never saw it. To be honest, it would have been a blind buy. But I would have been happy with the blind buy. Now that I watched it, I do want to own it and put it in my collection, just like every other movie that we reviewed so far on the Liam Neeson. I've been buying them on the cheap. But it's a good movie, and if I would have saw this in the theater, I would have said it's a solid film. Because it's a solid film, I gave it a 3 out of 5. I think this is an actually really good movie for some people, not for other people. They would have gave it a 2 or a 1, but I think for me, and I, to be honest with everyone that's listening to the podcast or watching us on YouTube, give this movie a shot. You might enjoy it. It's a really good film. So I give it a 3.
Yeah, it's funny that you said it. So this is just a little critic's consensus on Rotten Tomatoes. It kind of references like what you're saying. So it says, the commuter's cast is better than its workmanlike script, which helps make this a reasonably diverting Liam Neeson action thriller worth the price of a matinee ticket or a rental, but maybe not a full price ticket. It's kind of like you said, you won't pay $15 for it, but $6 or $7. Good chilling, you know, Saturday is raining out. You throw on some Neeson. Look, we had the same exact score across the board. I also gave it a 3. I don't think this is as good. I like Run All Night, I thought was excellent, like legitimately excellent. This is good. And of course we're scoring, you know, on action. This is an action podcast. It is an action movie, but it's not a lot. I'm a fan of thrillers. So I tend to find a lot of things to like in these kind of movies, even if they're not the best. That is what keeps it from being a 4 or a 5 to me, because it's not the best. But it has enough intrigue for me that I enjoy it. I don't think it's amazing. I think I gave it a 3 as well, 6 out of 10. Like, it's, there's more bad than good for me. But as an action movie, I could see where people might be like, this sucks as an action movie. But if you're into thrillers, if you like that genre, I think it's worth a shot. And maybe you'll still hate it and maybe you'll like it. I don't know, but I don't think it's terrible. Either way, we should have the same total points, all right? 15 out of 25.
Yeah.
So 15 for both of us. I mean, literally same exact scores across the board. Yeah. I mean, a decent movie.
It's a very decent movie. And so far, if we had to rank the Liam Neeson as of right now, this might be, it could be the lowest one out of the three that we did so far. Because yeah, we did Run All Night. Unknown, right?
Well, the A-Team.
Oh, we did the A-Team.
Unknown,
that's right.
Run All Night, and this.
Unknown, and then The Commuter.
Run All Night is probably my favorite one. The A-Team is the biggest action movie.
Yeah.
But Run All Night has a lot of buttons that it hits right for me. Because with the criminals and the cops and the, you know, I like it.
See, for me, it would be my number one would be Run All Night, A-Team, Unknown, and then Commuter. That's how I would rank them for me.
I might flip-flop Unknown and The Commuter, but
yeah,
our one and two is the same.
I think that's how I would do it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not a piece of junk. I don't think we watched a piece of junk for me. So I had it was a good solid month. And there's plenty of other Liam Neeson movies we're going to be doing Taken down the line. Those are his most like kind of pure action movies, I think,
yeah,
besides A-Team. So we'll do that as a series watch through at some point. But what we got coming up next, of course, next week, we will be reviewing Predators. This is the Robert Rodriguez produced Nimrod. Yeah, his name is Nimrod. Antal directed it. Predators. Oh, by the way, we didn't even talk about The Commuter really quick. I mean, a crazy good cast, right? Because you got Liam Neeson. You got Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Florence Pugh, as I mentioned, who's now blowing up. Sam Neill, who I totally forgot was in this movie. Yeah. Alan Grant. Dr. Alan Grant's here. How does this guy always get these casts that are... Run All Night had a crazy cast. This got a crazy cast. Good for him. We're going to be doing some Predators, which also got a pretty good cast. That's what it reminded me of. And then, of course, it's October, Alex. So you know what that means. We will be doing some horror-tinged action films. Just a quick rundown of what we're going to be doing. We got a monster, right? It's like monster, demon, creature action movie that we're going to be doing next week called Doom, starring Carl Urban and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I have not seen that since the theater, so we'll see how that goes. A video game movie as well.
I've never seen it.
Never seen it. Okay, so it's got monsters. It's not a horror. It's not scary, but it's like horror-tinged. And then the next week, we will be watching together, and then, of course, reviewing for the podcast, a little Dog Soldiers, which is a werewolf action movie. Then, the week after that, we got a little bit of vampire action movie with a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn. I'm sure you've seen it and heard of it. And then we wrap things up with another vampire action film called Priest with Paul Bettany. With Carl Urban. We got two Carl Urban this month. So I think you're going to like Carl Urban in that. I don't know if you're going to like the movie. I don't really remember much about it, but it's about a priest who is a vampire, like hunter guy. It might be right up your alley, dude. Like Last Witch Hunter and all that crap. It's like one of those types of
movies. I like so Last Witch Hunter.
You might love this movie.
I didn't enjoy that one. Not to lie.
I remember not hating it, but we'll see. So that's the October lineup. We're going to have some creatures and monsters and mixed with action for the month of October. So stay tuned.
There you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix. More reviews, anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the action movie guys video version of the podcast, or head it over to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. That's our official website. Other than that, that is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Ferraro. Be awesome to each other and geek out.